Hello, everyone, and welcome in to the Comics Experience Make Comics podcast, a show where we talk about the nuts and bolts of making comics. My name is Joey Groh. He's Andy Schmidt. It's a brand new year as of our recording of this. Happy New Year. Belated New Year to everyone, and same to you, Andy. It's I think I missed your Boxing Day. I think I missed your Christmas, so I'll throw all those into.
Well, thanks, Joey. Happy New Year. The holidays were pretty we're good. We were alone a lot, but that just is what it is, I guess. But we've got kids in our family, and they had a really good Christmas despite all of that. And I didn't think as a parent I'd be saying this, but I'm grateful for video games because our kids actually are that's how they're getting a lot of their socialization, essentially, with their friends. They're able to stay in touch with their friends because they hop online and they play Rocket League with their friends or whatever, Fortnite, whatever it is they're playing. And so that's actually been a really great thing, which just kind of goes to show you that it's never the medium that's the problem, right? It's the content, or it's the way in which it's used, or or if it's abused or whatever.
Well, like anything, you can always have too much of something. And my daughter does not play video games. She's got a little cheapo camera that has little video games on it, and that's the most she's ever been exposed. But cartoons, boy, there have been many days where we just go, hey, you know what? Why don't you watch another one?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's this essay by Isaac Asimov that I love, that because he used to get asked, because he's famous for the robot stories, he used to get asked about he created the famous now the three laws of robotics. And the first law is you can't harm or by inaction allow harm to come to a human. And then the second one is you have to follow orders from a human as long as it doesn't put you in violation of the first law. And then there's the third law, which is protect its own existence as long as it doesn't violate the second or the first law. And it's sort of this hierarchy of laws. And then a lot of his short stories are based on what comes from that, right? Like cool particular situations. And there's he wrote this essay that I love. That's like, hey, I realized these aren't actually the laws of robotics. They're really the laws of any tool. I can't remember. I think he used a hammer as an example, right? The rule of the tool is you can use the hammer, but don't use it to harm somebody or yourself, right? And don't put it in a place where it's going to fall off a ledge and harm someone, right? And then, it should follow your commands as long as you're not commanding it to harm somebody. You should use it to hammer in the nails or whatever, and then take care of it so it doesn't wear down, so you don't have to buy a new one. He's like, these are really the laws of tools. And that actually applies to things like playing video games or social media, which provides us a great segue into our topic.
Let's ride that segue right into it. We're talking about social media, and you have a new social media account for Twitter. Before, you had been tied to the @ComicExperience account, as well as, I'm sure, at times managing the Facebook stuff. But now you have some folks that work with you behind the scenes that manage the...
I love it when other people manage that stuff.
So you came back to Twitter on your own with, there was intent behind it for what you wanted to do and why you wanted to do it, and a whole different philosophy. In addition to it being some time since, social media changes daily, as far as who's on what, doing what with what. But you came back with some specific goals and, what you wanted to do. And it seemed like a good time to address that, especially with a new year. I think that's always a good time to go through and, look at what you're consuming in general, but also think about how do you want to present yourself and what do you want to be a part of?
Yeah. And also too, when I first started the Twitter account and my Facebook account, I didn't know what I wanted to use them for. I got a pretty quick following because I started posting fairly regularly about things about comics and how to make comics and things like that. And then, as Comics Experience, the business and the courses and the workshop and all that stuff started growing, it became the account for the company. And that's what we talk about. And so You know, I worked with a social media consultant or manager or whatever, and so there's like a rule book for Comics Experience of like, this is what, and we created a separate Facebook page for Comics Experience. This is, so it wasn't like my personal Facebook page anymore.
Right.
And then for a long time she managed it, but you know, she was great because we went through and we were like, okay, like here are the guidelines. Here are the topics that we will introduce, that we'll talk about, and yes, of course, we'll promote our stuff. We'll promote people that come through the thing. We don't use swear words. We don't engage in political arguments and, you know, things like that. You know, so we created all of these guidelines, and then it kind of, you know, which was good. And it still did all this sort of stuff. And then, I had also, become sort of disenfranchised with social media. There was, you know, shocking to no one, there was a lot of, you know, angry people on there that would get angry at me for disagreeing with them, or I don't know, they just wanted to take things out on other people. But you know, as it morphed to not my account, then I was like, well, it shouldn't really be like my voice specifically, and blah blah blah. So anyway, I wound up taking a step back, which I think was healthy for me at the time. And then you know, over the last several months, I've been having conversations and I started doing some research. My kids are of an age where they're asking to get online and social media, and that's really what kicked me in to do research. Like, well, what's going to be appropriate? Like, they want Instagram and they want Twitch and they want these things, and I need to make sure that they're, if they're going to use them, if we're going to allow that. And eventually, you know, they're going to wind up using them, whether that's still the platform, you know, when they can make their own decisions fully or not. Like, so we're, you know, so anyway, that was the impetus for like doing the research. And then I, you know, it changed my approach to them. And then I was like, well, if I'm going to have them on there, then I should be on here and making sure that the things that I'm reading, like I'm putting into practice, and I can be an example for them, and, you know, this sort of thing. So, and then I just kind of sort of re-engaged me in the whole thing. Now my kids still aren't on social media. I just got back on maybe a month ago, on Twitter, created my own new Twitter account. But you know, it was interesting. I was like, well, am I going to be disappointed if I don't ramp up like a giant following like right away? And I was like, well, no, that's, you know, I mean, I'm not really doing it for that. I'm also not an editor at Marvel or at IDW where I can hire you for your dream job.
Right.
Anymore. Like some things have changed. Like I'm still certainly in the industry.
And you're also not promoting the same way, where if you were promoting those books and those creators and talking about the industry in a different way, that might also get it. So it's not just necessarily, well, you're hiring.
And it's actually coincidental that I've got the, you know, Generations Shattered just came out this week, and Generations Forged comes out next month, and then Crime Syndicate launches in March, all of which I am writing. The first two, the Generations books, I'm writing with Dan Jurgens and Rob Venditti. It has a slew of awesome artists, and then the Crime Syndicate book is me writing on my own, and it's pretty much just coincidental that stuff is launching when I
right.
join.
But handy.
If I'd really wanted to use my social media account to promote those things, I probably should have started them at least 6 months earlier or a year earlier. But it's really this impetus to do with my kids.
But that's a great point though, because you do have stuff that you could promote, and if you wanted to promote it, you know, trying to think about listeners, if you're looking to do a Kickstarter or get your work into an editor's hand, or you want to submit to a publisher or be considered for, you know, work at a Marvel or a DC, you got to start that, you know, you don't just show up one day. Well, maybe some people do, but the outlier might. But the other way to do it is to start that relationship and go, hey, editor Andy Schmidt, I really loved your run on G.I. Joe. I'm doing comics and I just wanted to say I thought it was great. And Andy goes, oh, cool, thank you very much. What kind of comics are you doing? And you go, right now I'm doing this. And then you share and you start to build that relationship. Or if you're looking to build a relationship with readers, you know, how are you going to approach that? So I think the, you know, the big picture of what you're talking about is so applicable. And it's funny, I haven't done a lot to promote my business on social media for about a year because of the pandemic. And I chose to actively not market outwardly and to only reach out to former and existing clients because of how the pandemic affected our family in terms of my wife being at home all the time with her job and our daughter having this limbo of what is school, what is not school, and trying to figure all that out, I realized quickly, like, oh, I'm the one who can adapt quickly here in the sense that if I don't have any work coming in, I don't have to do that work. Hmm, what does that mean for the big picture of our family? You know, and I didn't say anything in terms of a business focus, but I think, you know, this might be a whole other podcast, you know, are you Andy Schmidt the business? Because you're a guy who wants to get on social media. Your business is Comics Experience, but your business is also writing video games or writing comics or right. You know, fill in the blank.
Well, that was a lot of what I thought about. So like with my new Twitter account, which if you're interested in it, which I would love to have you follow me, is 39A Andy. So it's 39AANDY. That's all it is. I thought about that, and that had also sort of kept me off of social media as a personal thing. So yes, this is, so 39A Andy is on Twitter is me, and it's just me, and the only person using that account is me, right? Now I still use the Comics Experience account occasionally. There are several of us that'll jump on there, and every once in a while I'll retweet something or whatever. And it's nice to have an established account with thousands of followers already that can, you know, retweet relevant tweets of my own. But yeah, this one is me, but of course I do, it's not really completely separate from Comics Experience. So on Twitter, you know, I've don't want to say anything on my personal Twitter account that's going to negatively affect, right, my, you know, my business. But at the same time, you know, my business has certain things, like I had mentioned earlier, like we don't talk politics really on Comics Experience, or very rarely. You know, on my private account, that's my opinion. I can say something there that's not necessarily representative. Now, I'm a very, I believe, open-minded person. I don't have problems with people that disagree with me politically or about, you know, even how comics are made or that sort of thing. Like,
right.
I'm fine with people having other opinions. I'm fine with discussing them. I'm fine with debating them, as long as we're all respectful and, you know, all of that stuff. And we've got people that are in Comics Experience that have very different views than my own, and that's fine. And, you know, and in our courses, all this stuff, we do that. But anyway, you know, I might say something more on social media, probably not on Twitter. On Twitter, you know, I made a list of topics that generally these are the topics I'm going to hit. I'm going to talk about comics. I'll probably talk about movies. I'm going to talk about grilling and cooking, because that's a little grilling primarily, you know, is a form of cooking. Mm-hmm. But like I've been, you know, into that lately, and astronomy, which I'm into. Maybe a little bit of parenting, and potentially maybe some bourbon here and there, since I live in Kentucky. But like, I wouldn't talk about bourbon on my Comics Experience account. That would be inappropriate.
Right.
Right.
No, nobody's there for the bourbon necessarily, unless it's a comic book tie-in.
Right. Yeah. I mean, a comic with a bourbon, like, yeah, sure. But like, you know, but I don't think Comics Experience needs to be tweeting out, you know, cool grilling tips or whatever. So, but those are things that interest me, the person. Oh man, Springfield, Illinois is calling. Isn't that where Cobra is based?
I don't know current continuity. Might be.
But you know, my point being, you know, those are things I'll talk about on Twitter. And on Facebook, I have sort of a different thing. So my Facebook is my personal Facebook page. I don't have a fan page. I don't really use it as my personal Facebook page, because I have all these people on there that I don't know that really just want me to talk about comics. And so on Facebook, you know, I'll talk about comics, I'll talk about movies, a little bit about astronomy, but I'll talk a little bit more about writing and work-life balance and parenting, where you can just post longer things there, and so that's more kind of, you know, it's a little bit different. Like I have pushed those things into you know, I know what I talk about on Twitter and what Twitter is kind of more useful for, and Facebook I'm going to use a little slightly differently, but there's a lot of overlap. It's not like you're getting two completely different versions, but I'm not posting something on Twitter and then just turning around and posting the same thing on Facebook.
Sure.
You know, or vice versa. But all of that just kind of goes into, I think, you know, one of the reasons why I've done it this way, and there are things that are, you know, passions or hobbies or whatever of mine that I wouldn't talk about on the business website just because it doesn't seem relevant. Part of the reason I did that is I want people who are fans or who are interested in comics experience, or since I'm working on some creator-owned projects or whatever, like I want them to be able to get to know me, and I'd like to be able to get to know them. And by setting my own parameters around how I'm using social media and how I can, you know, setting parameters on my own conduct on social media, I am sort of de facto setting parameters on the types of conversations I should be having. Right. Now, that doesn't mean somebody can't interject and you know, or ask me a question about something else or whatever.
Right.
But there's certain places where I've already decided some boundaries I'm not going to go. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm not really going to talk about my kids. Right. I'm not going to share photos of my kids and stuff. Now but I'll talk about parenting in a general sense because that's a topic that's a passion of mine. You know, my wife and I have taken a lot of parenting courses and we've read a lot of stuff and we've experimented on our children quite a bit.
just to,
so,
you know.
So you don't have to.
See if you can get that X-Men run went to your head, I think.
Yes, it did. Yeah. Those are things that are personal and passionate and I can engage on a much more personal level with fans or people interested in similar things. They don't have to be fans of me per se, you know, like it's a way to interact on a different level, on a more emotional level, as well as being hopefully helpful, you know, to folks. But other parameters that I've set are things like how much time I'll spend on them. Like I run three businesses. And I can't spend all day on Twitter. I think actually just the other day, with the day that Generation Shattered came out, I wasn't on Twitter all day. And then I turned Twitter on at the end of the day and was like, okay, well, let's see how the internet reacted. And I was very pleased that it was everything that I saw anyway, was all very positive. The book seems like it's being really well reviewed and people are being very, you know, very, very happy with it. And so like I answered some questions from people that, you know, would reply on some stuff and you know, had a little bit of fun with folks for about 20 minutes and then was like, okay, I need to get off because at that point I had to go make dinner. And then we were doing some family stuff that night. So, you know, which we do pretty much every night. So I think it's important to put parameters on the amount of time. If you're looking at your social media as something you're doing to whatever degree, you know, to benefit your business, to benefit your writing, to benefit your art. If you're an artist and you're putting stuff on Instagram, like it makes sense that you would be on Instagram quite a bit more than you'd be on another platform, right? My son is doing a lot of art right now, and he's now taking those time-lapse videos so you can see him, so you can watch him do the sketch and then fill in all the pencils, and you can watch him do the inking, and then you can watch him do the coloring with his Copic markers, and that's very cool.
Yeah.
But you know, like, you know, once he's allowed to post on that's going to be a factor of what social media platform he's going to be on.
Sure.
Can he post the videos? Can he whatever? So, So it's all like it's all setting those parameters. And one of the problems I had 15 years ago, when I started, when I was on social media a lot, was I was on social media a lot.
Right.
And I was doing more for my social media accounts. And it becomes the circular thing. Like, well, I need more followers because I need more followers because eventually I'm going to do something. But if all I'm doing tweeting and Facebook posting and all this sort of stuff, and I'm not actually doing the work that eventually I would want to, you know, get out into the world and make even more connections with other people, because that's really what this whole thing's all about, really. And you know, I think then the balance is off. And so, you know, I don't do a thing where I'm like, from this time, you know, I give myself 20 minutes here and 20 minutes here and 20 minutes here. Like, I don't do that exactly, but I know, like, okay, I'll try to touch base at some point in the morning and at some point, usually in sort of the later afternoon, as part of my wind down, I've been, you know, I'll hop on Twitter and stuff, you know, but For me, it's a long-term thing. Like I'm sure part of it too is a pandemic, right? I don't have social interactions with other humans anymore. And so
right.
I'm actually trying to use social media in a way that's positive for other people and it's positive for me. And I think it'll build, you know, like I've got over 100 followers on my new Twitter account that I just started, which I think is probably pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I did not set like defined goals. Like I don't want to get obsessed with finding followers because a lot of times, you know, just getting the numbers up doesn't mean people are actually engaged. What I'm interested in is engaging, with people. And one of the things that I'm not good at is, you know, I don't tend to get on Twitter and then just like scroll through my feed and just, you know, like have pithy comments to things that other people have posted. But eventually, I'm hoping that I'll start carving out some time to have like, oh, today I'm going to scroll through. If there's something I'm really interested in that somebody else is tweeting about, like, I'll jump in, like, let's have that conversation. But, you know, just to throw one tweet out there to try and gain followers, that's not all that valuable. It's not how I want to spend my time. Like, if I'm going to be on social media and I am engaging with people, I'd like to actually engage.
Right. And if you're putting anything out there, you want it to be within those parameters of things you're trying to think through and how you're trying to interact with people and the conduct that you want to do.
Right. And I think the last thing that we want to talk about, and I know we have to wrap up here, but I think the last thing we want to talk about, you and Heather covered this on a previous episode a year or so ago, maybe 2 years ago at this point, and that you had mentioned before the show was, how'd you put it? Like, don't say anything on Twitter that you wouldn't want your mom to read.
That was a refrain that we came back to is anything social media, don't post anything that you wouldn't want your mother to read, you know, as far as your conduct and the way that you interact with people. And it's difficult to have disagreements online. It's difficult to post an opinion and I think that, hey, it's just going to be met with, I don't like Star Wars, or you hate Star Wars, or, you know, fill in the blank of whatever it is.
Let's measure our Star Wars fandom online.
But that's, you know, that's the tricky thing, is the things that you and I disagree on in terms of pop culture and I'm sure other things in life. Like, I like engaging with you because I know that you're thoughtful about it and have an interesting take. And I didn't tell you this off air. I rewatched The Bourne Supremacy over the Christmas break. And yeah. I think I maybe appreciated it a little bit better from a story perspective, but really hammered home the point that I don't like that visual style a lot in that movie.
How shaky it is.
That was the big turnoff for me, you know, that jump between movies where Paul Greengrass was like, what if we never have a steady shot? And we always cut within.
It's a bit much, yeah.
Yeah, so anyway, that was because you and I had an offline discussion about your rewatch of the Bourne movies, and I also like the Bourne movies. But, you know, that cannot necessarily be nuanced if you and I tried to do that over, you know, 140 or 280 characters and me going, well, I didn't like The Bourne Supremacy. Right. Why didn't you like it? It's the best! Things can get lost and muddied so quickly. But it's great to talk about stuff that you love and don't love and, you know, how and why you thought whatever. But it's tricky.
Yeah. One of the things I've started doing on my Facebook page, and I thought I'd be able to do it more, but they actually take a fair amount of time to write, and I don't feel like you know, somebody reads them in 90 seconds, right? But I thought I'd start doing movie reviews because I've been watching, you know, I'm in quarantine, so I've been watching, you know, more films, not just with the whole family. So I've been, you know, watching more like foreign movies again and stuff like that. And so I've been thinking, you know, I've been kind of hoping I'd do some movie reviews and, you know, I think I, you know, put something up not that long ago about Jurassic Park, and I put something up about, I think the first one I did sort of in this series was The Girl in the Spider's Web, which was the most recent Girl with a Dragon Tattoo movie. And I hadn't watched the was it Swedish? Are they Swedish?
I believe the originals were Swedish.
Yeah, I hadn't watched the Swedish ones originally, and I hadn't read the books, and I just watched this movie, and I was like, I kind of don't know what's going on. But anyway, yeah, I mean, it's I like engaging with people. I like having discussions on that are a little bit more in depth than Twitter really tends to allow. But yeah, I mean, I think it's all of those things. It's, for me, I don't want to put anything on Facebook that like my kids are going to read like 5 years from now. Not that they're going to scroll through my Facebook, but like, and be like, oh, look, you said a bunch of racist stuff. Well, first of all, hopefully I don't hold those views, but like I just don't. I want to be on the right side of history. And if somebody's, you are not presenting yourself on social media. You are presenting of the version of yourself you want people to see.
Right.
And that can be a turnoff. And one of the things that I've been really trying to figure out is how can I present a version of myself that I want people to see that's still authentically me?
Right.
Right? Like, I mean, I don't meet somebody on the street and then tell them everything about my life. I meet them on the street. And that's sort of how I look at social media is like, how far am I willing to go with somebody that I meet that's essentially strangers? How much am I willing to tell them? Am I willing to tell them my home address?
Right.
No. Am I willing to tell them, the full names and social security numbers of everyone in my family? No. Right? There's keeping that in mind. And one of the things that can be confusing on social media is you get to know people or you interact with people that you do know outside of social media. And you know well, and so you're likely to post things on social media that strangers will see and read or can see and read that you're posting on a comfort level with maybe the person you're interacting with, whom you know and have known for years, right? But now you've taken that what should have been a private interaction between you and one friend that you know well, and you've now put it out in the world to see. And I think that can be, well, I mean, it can be dangerous. You probably won't result in something dangerous, but it can be, right? So, and then sort of the last aspect of that too is that, if you're a comics writer, if you're a screenwriter or a film director, or you're a celebrity, or you're a whatever, right? You're a politician. And people are drawn to learn more about you through your work or through whatever, now you've got people with agendas that are reading your stuff. And that can be scary. Now, I've had some very minor harassment in social media. It was a relatively small fan base and a sliver of that fan base that was, they were after me on social media. And that's uncool. But that was around the time where I started thinking like, I think maybe it's time to get off because I've got people that are tracking me down.
Right. Well, that's a whole other discussion, and something that Heather and I talked about too is harassment is a different ball of wax.
Yeah,
And
that's a different conversation, but I wanted to bring it up now just to touch base on it so that you could realize like if you are listening to this because you want to make comics, which I assume you are, and you start making comics and you start getting a following. You're not always going to know who's following you, and you're not
right.
going to know what their agendas are. And then, let's say you're writing your creator-owned comics, and then eventually those take off, or you're an artist on a creator-owned comic, and you get picked up, and now you're working on a Marvel comic, and somebody just plain hates the way you draw Thor, or whatever, and they target you. Do you want a whole backlog of social media posts that somebody can easily access and find out things about you, right? And then post about those online and attack you or attack your friends and your family and or companies that you work for. So, I mean, a real danger these days with some of the way that some of the ways that activism is working is that, if you really screw up online and you're getting a lot of work from a place, they could start calling that place
Right.
and say, we don't want you working with this guy anymore. Now, that doesn't always result in somebody getting fired, but it can, right? And so, that's why, one of my tenets, and I try to carry this over into my life, not just social media, is just try to be positive in general, respectful and positive. And that doesn't mean that I won't post an opinion that's negative about something else, but I'll try to have a positive spin on it, or something we can, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's as good as place as any to stop. It's always an ever-changing stream of information and how to get it out there, whatever your platform is. Everything changes how it does what and why it does what, and hopefully it doesn't always just evolve into the negative sides that I think, you know, most people have experienced. So you can go follow Andy on social media. You can go follow Comic Experience on social media. You can also go to the Comics Experience site, which talks about classes and lots of other different things. A whole other way to experience the internet: websites. The new year, we would love to hear if you have any questions specifically making comics related, or in general anything process as far as comics go, and obviously that includes some of the niches that Andy's also involved in terms of printing and other aspects of production. Is something that I always like to think about and talk about, because those I feel like get kind of neglected and for everybody until you have to deal with it, and then, you know, at the 11th hour you're trying to figure out, wait a minute, why was this saved like this? Oh no, I can't print this because it's not the right ratio, or it's not the right specifications. Oh no. So there's lots of different things we could talk about on the show. So if you have a question, info@comicsexperience.com, or you can tweet at Comic Experience, or message on Facebook, Comics Experience, and folks will get that to us. And thanks a lot.
You can also hit me up at 39A Andy. For questions, for stuff, it's fine. I'd be happy to answer.
All right. Until next time, keep making comics.